Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Hey there, Enjoy Church. Hope that you are doing really, really well. Wherever you're gathering today, wherever you're watching this online, whatever location you may be from, I pray that you're doing really, really well. I also pray today that you've come with a heart ready, a heart that's expectant, because I really do believe God wants to speak to us today through His Word. And I'm super excited to be bringing the Word and sharing the Word with you today. So let's just lean in. Let's get hungry for what God wants to say and do with us today. I want us to turn to the book of Hebrews. So if you've got a Bible handy, or it'll come up on the screen, Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16, and it goes a little bit like this. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So let us come boldly, it says there. You know, I remember at age 12, I was riding home from school. I was on my BMX, and I was riding home from school, and I really wanted a part-time job. I'd been thinking for ages, I would love to get a part-time job, and every day I would ride past these group of shops, and in these shops was a butcher. And on this particular day, I don't know what happened, what came across me, but I just decided that that was the day I was going to go into this butcher's shop, and I was going to ask the butcher for a job. And so that's exactly what I did. School finished, I'm riding up the road. I pull into that butcher's shop. I walk in. I ask to speak to the owner, and he comes out, and I'm like, hey, I would like a job. And I basically asked him for a job that day. And to my surprise, he turns around and he says, fantastic. Why don't you start right now? And so that very day, I parked my bike around the back of the butcher's shop, and I went in there and I started work that very day. I remember my parents laughing about this, because they remember driving home from work that day, and they remember pulling into those shops to get a few things. And as they went past the butcher's shop, I didn't see them, but apparently they look into the butcher's shop, and there they see me out the back working. They just laughed to themselves as they saw me there scratching their heads trying to work out what was going on. You see, at age 12, I just had this boldness. I decided it was time to have a job. You know, all 12-year-olds need to have a job. And so I just went and asked for one, and I got one. You know, I fast forward to the age of 18. I was fresh out of school, and I just got a job, and I was working at BP service station. And you know what? I loved working at BP service station. I got to mix with people and help people. And on those summer days, it was just so good to be out and about helping people. Back in the days of driveway service. Does anyone remember driveway service? Anyway, after doing that job for a little while, I decided that I could be the manager of this store. I really did. I thought, man, I used to watch my manager, and I used to think I could do that job. And so I wrote a letter. I sat down one night, I went home, and this is before emails, I actually wrote a proper letter, and I sent that letter off to the state manager of BP. And basically I told him why I thought I should be his next manager for a BP service station. Well, lo and behold, about 3 weeks later, I get a phone call at BP while I'm working, and I get invited to come and meet with the state manager. So one day, there I am, I go off into town, I've got my BP uniform, and I go into the city, and BP was in this high-rise building, and I went in there and I met with the state manager. And you know what he said to me? He said, Josh, I was so impressed by your letter. You had such boldness and courage, and it really got my attention. And I'm sitting there going, cool, but what about being a manager? You know, that's what we're here for, right? And he proceeds to tell me that they want to give me an opportunity to be a relief manager. He said that there was one of the petrol stations, one of the managers was going on holidays, and so I would have the opportunity to be the relief manager while they went on holidays, and then would see what happens. Do you know that I went and I was the manager during that time, and I never ever, from that point, went back to my old job as a driveway attendant. I stayed a manager. I was the youngest manager ever for BP back in those times. Isn't that cool? And I look at it and I go, man, I almost don't recognize myself. I look back so bold, so daring, just prepared to ask for whatever it is that I wanted. I read this text here, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. And today I want to talk about having bold faith. I want to talk about having a daring faith. You know, some days, I've got to be honest with you, I wonder what happened to that 12-year-old me. I wonder what happened to that 18-year-old me, that younger version of me that was so full of confidence, so full of belief, you know, was just so audaciously bold. Do you know the word daring means to be audaciously bold? What a great word. And so I want to talk about that today. I want to talk what it is to live a daring faith, an audaciously bold faith, because I reflect on my younger years and I sometimes wonder what happened to that young guy. Maybe it was a few knockbacks. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe as you reflect right now, you look at a younger version of yourself and you go, yeah, Josh, I relate to what you're saying. When I was younger, I seemed to be full of more confidence and belief, and it was like I could take on anything. I believed I could do anything. But like me, you fast forward to today and you wonder where that person has gone. Well, you know, it only takes a few knockbacks, doesn't it? Only takes a few failures, maybe a few mistakes, maybe some prayers not being answered the way that we hope that they would be answered. We get a few disappointments along the way. There's unmet expectations that unfold. And before long, instead of living that bold and, you know, daring, audacious life that God has called us to live, we find ourselves actually really not believing God for much at all. And maybe rather than our faith even being in a stagnant place, if we were to be really honest, maybe our faith even began to erode. And instead of being bold, it's like we settle for something way less than what God had planned for us. And, you know, during this time of isolation, there's a number of things that I feel that God's been stirring in my heart. And one of them is this whole thought and this whole concept of having bold faith, to have a daring faith. I love, again, that line there, let us come boldly. You know, it's really important we understand that boldly doesn't mean proudly. It doesn't mean coming arrogantly. It doesn't mean coming with presumption or some sense of entitlement that we are owed something. But boldly means that we come before God constantly. Boldly means that we come without reservation, you know, like young children, like that 12-year-old Josh. I had no reservations, just coming before God. Boldly means that we come freely and without fancy words, that we just come as we are and we talk and we present ourselves to God. Boldly means that we come with confidence. Boldly also means that we should come with persistence, that we just keep going, we keep knocking, we keep trying, we keep believing, and we keep going. So we come boldly, where? To the throne of grace. The throne of God is a throne of grace. Isn't that good news today? That the throne of God that we're asked to come to is a throne of grace. And so when we come to God, we obtain, it says there, mercy, and we find grace to help us when we need it most. What an incredible thought. I'm just so glad there that it goes on to say that God provides for us help in our very time of need. Maybe not when we think we need it, maybe not when we expected we needed it, but God always provides help in our very time of need. And I want you to hear this morning. When it comes to having daring and bold faith, no request is too small. No request is too small. God does not want us to be anxious, it says in Philippians 4:6, for anything. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, small requests and big, come to God in prayer and let, it says, your requests be known to God. You see, God is always there in our time of need. You know, when I look at the early church in the book of Acts, it was a church that had boldness. I've been reflecting and reading through the early church, the book of Acts, because I believe that God's speaking to us about those days right now. And do you know that one of the first characteristics of the Holy Spirit that was imparted to them when he came in great power on that day of Pentecost was actually to bring a boldness to them. So when Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father and the Holy Spirit came and filled those early believers and that early church, it actually says that a boldness came upon them. Isn't that incredible? A boldness to live for him and a boldness to speak for him. Up until that point, the followers of Jesus, they'd been hiding in fear. They were worried about the Jewish authorities of the day, and they spent time together praying and encouraging one another. Then we read in Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And those that were formerly terrified, so the disciples that were once in fear, now we see in Acts chapter 2 become fearless preachers, because this boldness comes as the Holy Spirit fills them. A short time later, as the disciples face persecution from the authorities of the day, it says in Acts 4:29 that they actually prayed for boldness. Here's the good news. Their prayer was answered. They asked God for boldness, and in Acts 4:31, their prayer was answered. It says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and listen, and spoke the word of God boldly. They spoke it boldly. They received the boldness that they asked for. They received, I want you to catch that this morning. Someone needs to hear this. Catch it. The very thing that they were praying for, they received. They received boldness. It was a gift from God, and it came through prayer. They received boldness through prayer. It wasn't something they could work up themselves. Their boldness was not of their own doing. It wasn't like Josh at 12 and Josh at 18 who just decided to step out. But we're talking about something that we cannot manufacture, but comes as the Holy Spirit fills us and indwells us. And so godly boldness, and that's what I'm talking about today, not our own bravado, but a godly boldness is motivated by a passion for Christ and a passion for his truth. Think about it for a moment. For Paul, who was known to be so bold that each time he would speak boldly, it mostly meant that he would face more persecution. We know about Stephen as well, who spoke boldly, and he becomes the very first Christian martyr. You see, as followers of Christ, I really believe that we need to be praying prayers like Paul did, that God would grant to us a supernatural boldness so that we can speak the good news of the gospel, that we can share our faith with other people, but also that we would be bold to live in the days in which we live the way that God, the way that Christ would have us to live. I'm sure you recognize that we live in dark days. We live in days of great deception. We live in days where there seems to be such a resistance to the truth. And so I don't know about you, but I believe as Christians, I believe for the church, now are the days for a greater boldness. Now's not a time for us to be on the back foot. I don't believe these are days for us to be shrinking back and waiting to see what's going to happen in the world around us. But I believe that God is stirring his church. I believe that God is stirring us in joy. I believe that God is stirring believers right across this planet and right across this nation to stand up and to be bold like never, ever before. You know, I really believe this, that boldness, as we get a Holy Spirit boldness in us, and you couple that with love for people, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love others, love your neighbor. As we bring boldness, the Spirit of God in us, boldness, and we couple that with true love, as God would love, and with humility, I believe it is like a light into the darkness. I really do. I believe that when we're bold and we're loving people and loving God and we come from a place of humility, I believe that as believers, we can be used to shine light into the darkness. And so today, I want to focus on what it is to have daring faith. Remember, I said that word daring means audaciously bold. Audaciously bold. I don't know what you think of when you hear that, but I just think of something out of the box. I don't think of something that's in the box or confined. I'm thinking something that is way bigger than my mind can understand. I'm thinking about something that is beyond my own abilities. I'm thinking about something that has the breath of heaven on it. I'm thinking about something that requires the Holy Spirit to continually fill us over and over and over again. It says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that it is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith. Goes on to say that anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So what is faith? What is godly biblical faith? You know, I want to define it in this simple sentence, that faith is seeing things from God's point of view. That faith is simply seeing things as God sees them. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says that faith shows, it shows the reality of what we hope for. Listen, it is the evidence of things we cannot see. You see, it's not a natural eye, it's the eyes of our heart, it's our spiritual eyes that are open and we see as God sees. Ephesians 1, verse 18. Listen to this. I pray that the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. You see, faith is seeing things from God's point of view. And if we're going to have this sort of daring faith, if we're going to have a bold faith, then I believe we need to have our eyes opened, as it were, to see what God sees. To see what God sees. You know, there are really two options. We can see through the eye that is natural, so we can see through the natural eye, or we can choose to live with the eye of faith and see as God sees. But you know, as I look at Numbers 13 and 14, you would have heard of a story there about the spies going out to spy out the promised land. And there's something that happens, you know, there's two versions of events that come back that day. One group is super negative and they're concerned about the future and they're concerned that if they go forward that they're going to just get beat up on, that things are not going to work out so well. But we also know that there was Joshua and Caleb who came back and they didn't see with natural eyes, but they saw with the eye of the Spirit. They saw as God would see. But you know, when we view our faith, and when we live our faith through natural eyes, I believe there's three things today, three things that will happen when we see through the natural eye. The first thing is we make our problems bigger. When we use or live our faith through the natural eye, when we navigate faith, navigate our life in Christ with a natural eye, we make our problems bigger. Listen, in Numbers 13, 27, this was one of the reports that came back. It's a magnificent land, but, there it is. It's a magnificent land, but the people living there are powerful and their cities are fortified and large. What's more, we saw Anakim giants there. You see, what they saw with their natural eye became bigger. It just became a big problem, a big obstacle. And that's what happens when we view things through the natural eye. We make our problems bigger. The second thing when we view things through the natural eye is we entertain doubts and fears. We entertain doubts and fears. Numbers 13, verse 33, listen to what they said about themselves. We seemed like grasshoppers, what? In our own eyes, it says. And we looked the same to them. You see, when we look through the natural eye, we entertain doubts and fears that we should never be entertaining. We actually take on a realm of thinking and reflecting that we were never designed in Christ to carry or to follow. And so we entertain doubts and fears that we were never designed to. The third thing that happens is we get discouraged. When I look through the natural eye, I get discouraged. Numbers 14, verse 1, it says, then all the people, after this report, all the people began weeping aloud and they carried on all night. They carried on all night. You see, discouragement sets in. When we see what's going on, even now as we look at what's going on in the world, if we look through natural eyes, we can so easily get discouraged. But here's the thing today in Joy Church. God has not called us to live with a view through the natural eye. He hasn't called us to live our faith with natural eyes. But he's called us to live with the eye of faith. He's called us to live a life where we see things as God sees them. And you know what? There are three things that will happen when we begin to see as God sees. When we actually have the eye of faith, the first thing is that faith restores a right perspective. Faith restores a right perspective. What we focus on grows. You keep focusing on your problems, who knows that your problems will only get bigger because it's all you can see. You keep focusing on your limitations will only get bigger. But who knows that you focus on God and God becomes bigger than your problems. God becomes bigger than your limitations. God becomes bigger than any mountain, any opposition. Focus on God and God will get bigger. 2 Kings 6, we've got the story of Elisha and his servant. It says there that Elisha's servant had woken up, and when he woke up and came out of the tent, he saw all the enemy armies around him. And he goes to Elisha and he's in fear. Elisha prays in verse 17 and says, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked again and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, the servant's eyes were open that day. His eyes of faith were open. It restored to him a right perspective. What looked like defeat in the natural eye was actually a victory through the eye of faith. The second thing that happens as we take on the eye of faith is, number two, faith shows me the possibilities. Faith shows me the possibilities. Mark 11, verse 22 to 24 says this, Jesus speaking, "Have faith in God. If you have faith in God and you don't doubt," so important, faith in God without doubt, "you can tell this mountain to get up and jump into the sea, and it will. Whatever you ask for in prayer will be yours if only you have the faith." If only you have the faith. You know this phrase here about removing mountains? It was actually a very common Jewish phrase that was used when they were faced with an insurmountable problem. So using this mountain, obviously it's not literal, right? The mountain, it's not literal, people, right? But it was a common phrase. And what Jesus was saying is that as we believe, as we put our trust in God, as we see through the eye of faith, God can overcome any obstacle that is in our way. Isn't that amazing? You see, that's what happens when you see with the eye of faith. Faith shows me the possibilities. And the last one, number three, faith gives me courage in tough times. When we begin to see through the eye of faith, it gives me courage when times get tough. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8 to 9 says, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and we are not broken. We're perplexed, but we don't give up and we don't quit. We're attacked, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up and keep going." We get up and we keep going. You know, some of us think, "Oh, well, I keep getting up, Josh, I keep getting up." But you know what? There's an extra bit there. It says, and I get up, but I keep going. I keep pressing on. I keep pressing on. You see, faith gives me courage in the tough times to keep pressing on. Amen? You know, in conclusion today, as followers of Jesus Christ filled with the Holy Spirit, just like those believers were in the book of Acts, I really believe that that you and I should pray that the Lord would grant to us a supernatural boldness, that he would give us in the days in which we live, in these crazy days of deception, in these crazy days of, you know, a resistance to truth, that we would be more daring than ever, that our boldness, coupled with that love and humility, would be a light into darkness. I believe today that it's a prayer that we need to pray, a daring prayer of daring faith. That we would come into a new boldness, that we would rise up as the church, that we would rise up as Christians in the place that God has called us to be, in your workplace, in your family, in your sporting club, in your neighborhood, wherever God has got you, right? Wherever God has got you right now, that we would rise up with a new boldness in Jesus' name. Because I believe, and I know right across in Joy Church, we believe that these are days to be excited about. They really are. These are days for us to be on the front foot, not on the back foot, but to be leaning in and to be going after Christ with all of our hearts and daring to live the life that he's called us to live. And so I want to do that right now. I want to pray right across every location, right across wherever you are online today. I want to pray that a new boldness would come to you, a supernatural, spirit-filled boldness would come into your life. Are you ready for that? Why don't we pray? Lord, we thank you today for your word. We thank you that just like those believers in the book of Acts, so the early church, the early Christians, that as they prayed for a boldness, you answered their prayer and you filled them with a supernatural courage, a supernatural boldness to go and speak the word, but also to live the word. And God, we're praying today as your church. We're praying today as Enjoy Church. For every believer, we're praying, God, in these days that we live, in this moment right now, that you would fill us, Holy Spirit, afresh. That Holy Spirit, you would fill us with a boldness that we can face any mountain and we can overcome it. That we can go forward in courage. If we get knocked down, we're getting up again and we are pressing on. So God, I just pray for every enjoyer, for every person watching this online right now. I'm praying and believing, God, would you fill each one of us with supernatural boldness. In your name we pray, amen and amen. So good. You know, you may be watching this today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You've never actually prayed a prayer where you surrender your life to Jesus and invite him to be your Lord and Savior. And, you know, I want to give you that opportunity right now, wherever you may be. I want you to take a step of boldness right now. I want you to take the greatest step of faith you'll ever take, and that is to say yes to Jesus. You know, a relationship with Jesus, I really believe, is one of the greatest decisions you'll ever make. It's a decision that is life-changing. It's a relationship like no other relationship that you know. It will transform your life as you come to know and as you come to walk with Jesus. But, you know, I think there's a few things that are really important for us to understand before we pray for you today. And that is that to receive the gift of salvation, you know, the reality of our lives, the reality of our sin, the reality of our journey up until now needs to be acknowledged before God, that we are sinners, that we have walked our own path, that we all, as the scriptures say, have fallen short of God's best for our life. You know, the Bible does teach that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, right? And it was the sin in the heart of man that actually put an end to relationship with God back in the Garden of Eden. But the good news of the gospel is this, is that Jesus went to the cross. And he went to the cross to pay the debt that we owed to God for our sin. And Christ offers his salvation to us today as a free gift. But it's a gift that can only be received by faith. And that's what I've been talking about today, this faith that we have. It's not something we can manufacture. It's not something it is a free gift that we receive by faith. The Bible says to us that if we declare with our mouths and that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, I've got good news for you today. And that is this, you can know the love of God. You can live free from that weight and that burden of sin, of being disconnected from God, and you can experience life like Jesus has purchased for you at the cross. And it all starts with a relationship. And so today, I wonder, wherever you are, wherever you're watching this, you're in a lounge room right now, you're watching this on your phone, wherever you may be, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you today, and I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. I'm just wondering right now, would you open your heart to him? Would you confess your need of him as your Lord and Savior? Would you receive the forgiveness of sins that he has purchased for you? And we're going to pray a really simple prayer in a moment, and this prayer will change your life forever. And so right now I want you to be bold, and I want you to make that decision. I want you to take a step of boldness and take a step of boldness in the direction of Jesus today, and just watch what he will do with your life. You know, if you're watching this online right now, you'll see on the right hand side down the bottom there's a little raised hand, and you can push on that raised hand right now. Or if you're watching on Facebook, then maybe you can just type a comment saying, I need Jesus. And as you do that, someone's going to connect with you, and they're going to walk with you beyond this decision today that you're making. They're going to walk with you to help you discover who Jesus is and become a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ. So together, wherever we are right across in joy today, if that's you and you're saying, yes, I need Jesus, if you want to make that faith step right now, then can we just be raising our hand, pushing that button, typing that comment and saying yes to a relationship with Jesus? Why don't you do that right now as we come into this prayer? Amen? Yeah, let's do that. Right across in joy right now. People are putting their hand up. People are pushing that button. God bless you, praying for you and believing for you right now. But we're going to pray this prayer. How about everyone pray it after me, and we'll do this together. You ready? Here we go. Dear Jesus, I've come to give my life to you. I believe that you came to give me life and life to the full. Thank you for pursuing me and for loving me. Today, I confess my need of you. I ask that you forgive me of my sin and give me strength to live a life that serves and honors you. I thank you that from this moment, I have a relationship with you, and you have become my Lord and my Savior. Amen and amen. I tell you, we're celebrating with you right across Enjoy Church. You just made the most amazing decision you could ever make. To everyone out there in Enjoy Church, God bless you. Can't wait to see you all real soon. Have an absolutely brilliant Sunday.